మాస్టర్ నమస్కారం. టు హూస్ టెంపుల్ ది ఆర్చ్ ఇస్ స్టార్లిట్, ఇన్ హూస్ టెంపుల్ ది సన్ ఈజ్ ఇమేజ్ ఆఫ్ గాడ్, టు హూస్ టెంపుల్ ది మూన్ గోస్ ఎవ్రీ మంత్ అండ్ బ్రింగ్స్ ది మెసేజ్ ఎవ్రీ ఫుల్ మూన్, అండ్ హూస్ మెసేజ్ ది మూన్ సింగ్స్ హ్యాజ్ ఎ వర్డ్ ఆఫ్ 16 letters. హిస్ రిలిజియన్ ఐ బిలాంగ్ టు, హిస్ టెంపుల్ ఐ విజిట్, హిస్ నేమ్ ఐ అట్టర్, హిస్ గ్లోరీ ఐ లివ్ ఇన్, టు హిమ్ ఐ ఆఫర్ ది లోటస్ ఆఫ్ మై డే, టు హిమ్ ఐ ఆఫర్ ది లోటస్ ఆఫ్ మై నైట్. మాస్టర్ నమస్కారం. మాస్టర్ సి వి వి నమస్కారం. Hearty fraternal greetings and good wishes to all the brothers and sisters. That the man is a triple shall have to be the fundamental understanding of an occult student. That the man is a triple. There is the heavenly man in us, and we are the men who are but offsprings of the heavenly man, and we have our personalities. That's how we are seen as three in one. The heavenly man, the man and his personality, which is also called the beast. The personality is called the beast. And the man should preside over the personality and be in alignment with the heavenly man in himself. That's the hierarchy we have. The heavenly man who is within us and also beyond us and is around us. The heavenly man is in us, is also beyond us. It's like if you sink a jug into a river stream, if you sink a jug or a glass into a river stream, there is water in the glass or in the jug. There is also water all around and above the jug or the glass. If a vessel is sunk into a river, there is water in the river. There is also water all around. Likewise, the heavenly man exists in us and is also all around. He is the basis. He is the basis upon which we spring out as individual men. Individual soul, we call it. The heavenly man springs out as an individual man. And he has a personality to relate to the world. He has a personality to relate to the world. That's how we are three in one. This should be known if we wish to realize the temple in us. The personality that the man prevails over is different. Is different. The personalities are different. But the soul that springs out from the super soul is common, is like any other soul. You may take your vessel to the river and bring water into your vessel. Another person will bring in his vessel, fill the water into that vessel. The vessels are different, the water is one. It is from the same river the water is fetched into various vessels and we store them at home and use them. Likewise, the personalities are different, but the persons are one. When we speak of equality, we speak of the equality of the persons, but not of personalities. A person who moves on a donkey is different from a person who moves on a horse, isn't it? A person who moves on a donkey is different from the person who moves on a horse. And a person who moves on an eagle is still different from the person who moves on a horse, isn't it? There can be an eagle-like personality, a horse-like personality, a donkey-like personality, a snake-like personality, isn't it? A crocodile-like personality, a turtle-like personality. All symbols are there in the zodiac, isn't it? A bull-like personality, a cow-like personality, they are different. A bull is a bull. A cow is a cow. Even when we express the word, the bull, we say, isn't it? So full of charging power, head on the bull. The cow, soft. So personalities are different. Persons all emerge from the same. So the personality is what we develop. The person as we are eternal because we spring up from the eternal being. Therefore, when we look into the mirror in the morning, as we make up ourselves, isn't it? We take shower and then we stand before a mirror and we make up, we dress and then we comb our hair, try to make ourselves look much more presentable than what we are. When we see the image in the mirror, you should know that you are three in one. That is the fundamental for an occult student. That's the fundamental. It's not that what you see as your form is you. The form belongs to the personality. The form belongs to personality and keeps changing. But the one who is looking into the mirror through the eyes, he is not a changing person. That's why you, each time you look into the mirror for decades, you think you are the same. But you are not. Because your pictures 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, when they are shown to you, they don't look like what you are today. They don't look like what you are today if you get back your pictures relating to last 3 decades. There is a changing form in you. There is also a changing personality in you. But when you look into the mirror through your eyes, you meet the light which you are. When you meet, what do you look when you look into your mirror? First you should look into your eyes. Don't look to other parts of the body. So you meet the light relating to you, isn't it? It's the same. The light is the same. That's why we don't think we are changing when we look into the mirror. Only when we meet our friends and relatives once in 2 years or 3 years, they tell us, oh, you changed. If they say you changed, you believe that you changed, but you are not changed. Your form has changed. Isn't it? The personality which is presented into the world through your form, it keeps changing. It's an ever-changing personality. It's like the weather. The 5 elements, they always are there. They are so busy in making their combinations, you know. With the sky as basis, air, fire, water, matter, they keep on making all kinds of changes. Likewise, the personality is an ever-changing personality, which has to be stabilized. It has to be stabilized. So there is a personality dimension relating to us, which is a facility given to us to relate to the world. It's a facility given. Just like a horse is a facility, an eagle is a facility, a donkey is a facility, everything is a facility. So you are not your personality. Personality is what you develop through life. Personality, what you develop through life, and even after you depart from this body, the personality continues to accompany you. That's the beauty. That's the beauty. If you die like a donkey, you will not be reborn with a horse-like personality. You will have to start with a donkey personality. Personality is what we have to train ourselves. We have to train ourselves. train it in such a manner that the donkey transforms into a horse and a horse transforms into a winged horse, a white horse, a winged horse. There are so many evolutions even to the principle of personality. The personality in its best state is a flying personality. And the masters of wisdom, out of great compassion, they want that this humanity learn to fly by themselves, not with the help of aeroplanes. In the Aquarian Age, it is one of the prophecies of Master CVV that we fly. We don't need a machine to fly. We ourselves fly. It's the promise of Aquarian Age. Another promise of Aquarian Age is that we don't die. We build a personality which can easily come out of the body and again form the body. These are the ideas set by the masters of wisdom for us. Our work is to work with our personality. Our personality can pull us down. Our personality can lift us up. That's why in the 6th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, a part of you can be your enemy, or a part of you can be your friend. See, there is a part in us which will resist from attending to any yoga practices or discipleship practices. It keeps on complaining, why every morning this boring thing, right? Left to oneself. In a group, people, they do it so well. But left to themselves at home, the personality is very strong. The personality tells, should you get up every morning? Should you get up every morning for the prayer? It's the personality. But in a group like this, when we are together, the personality keeps quiet. It knows it's not the right place, it's not the right time for it. And the personality knows that one day you come out of the group life, come home, it can wait and it can cause problems. So to transform a personality into a friend is a great work. And you cannot get out of it. That's the problem. Our personality accompanies us even after this incarnation. This we should know. So to whatever extent you have prepared for this time, the same thing will be with you as you arrive next time. As you arrive next time, this is how. This key is given in 15th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. That which you have left behind waits for you till you come back. The personality, the body you leave, there is a point where you leave the personality for a while. But in your return journey into reincarnation, the first thing you encounter is your personality. He says, hi dear, how are you? You are away for a long time. It awaits you. But if you have developed a very able, agile, effective, useful, serviceable, compassionate, generous personality, you would yourself not leave it because it helps you to do many things. Isn't it? So the whole game is to know what we are and what our personality is to start with. Our personality normally dominates the soul. Personality dominating the soul is what is called a spouse dominating the other spouse. whoever it is, it can be wife or it can be husband. One tries to dominate the other, isn't it? As long as one dominates the other, there is no good marital life between the person and the personality. That's why marriage is seen as a training ground. Manu Vaivasvata, he has set up the system of marriage as an excellent training ground. Because you meet the other who is a reflection of yourself. You meet the other who is a reflection of yourself. So both, when they are in continuous friction with each other, they get rounded up. A man and woman living together for 25-30 years, they would have slowly made so many compromises in life, you know. They are rounded up. Both are rounded up. That's why in the later part of their life, they tend to be more companions. True companions. True friends. And the seniority they gain, they feel that the other is just part of themselves. That's how it is. The person and personality, they shall have to find out their agreeable ground. Agreeable ground. If the soul dominates personality, when time comes, the personality dominates the soul. All religions ignorantly preach suppression of the personality. Religions preach suppression of personality, but the science of wisdom completely abandons the concept of suppression. It says, be friendly, be consultative, be talking to your personality. Sometimes you oblige it so that it also obliges you. You oblige your personality, then the personality also obliges you. If you fight with your personality, the personality will equally fight with you. That's why we have so many stories of the Goliath and the dragon, isn't it? The dragon has to be killed. Killing dragon is not wisdom. Killing dragon is not wisdom. Make a dragon your friend, then it can help you much better. See, a white dragon is of great help to the one who rides over it. A white dragon is like a personality of wisdom. It can help you to tide over situations. It can help you to accomplish great acts. So therefore, the first and fundamental thing that we should know as occult students is that we are not just one. We are not just one. I am there, my personality is there, and my father is there in me. In me. My father is in me. Call him father, call him master. Call him that. You have different ways of calling it. That I am is our original status. That I am. Isn't it? Soham. Aham saha means ahamsa. That's why I chose that mantra for this group life. Aham saha means I am that. Hamsa means aham saha. I am that. I and my father are no different. Verily, the father exists as I am. That I am. I am that. That I am. So that's why we sing ahamsa. Aham saha, I am that. That is Shiva. Shiva means the most auspicious one. Shiva does not mean the pictures that we show you in India. Shiva means the energy which prevails the whole. దట్స్ కాల్డ్ శివ. ఇట్ ఈస్ ఆల్సో కాల్డ్ ది మోస్ట్ ఆస్పిషియస్. డోంట్ థింక్ శివ మీన్స్ హీ హ్యాస్ సమ్ నెక్ సర్పెంట్స్ ఓవర్ హిజ్ నెక్ అండ్ హీ ఈజ్ ఆల్వేస్ ఎవర్ ఫ్లోయింగ్ ఫౌంటెన్. దెర్ ఇస్ ఆల్వేస్ ఎ ఫౌంటెన్ దట్ స్ప్రింగ్స్ ఫ్రమ్ హిజ్ హెడ్ అండ్ వాటర్స్ ఫాల్ అండ్ దెర్ ఆర్ సర్పెంట్స్ ది హ్యాండ్స్ అండ్ హీ పుట్స్ ఆన్ ఎ స్కిన్ ఆఫ్ ఎన్ ఎలిఫెంట్ స్కిన్ క్లోదింగ్ యాజ్ ఎలిఫెంట్ స్కిన్. దట్స్ ఆల్ సింబాలిక్ బట్ వెన్ యూ సే శివ ఇట్ ఈస్ ఆమ్ని ప్రజెంట్ ఎనర్జీ. ఆమ్ని ప్రజెంట్ ఎనర్జీ ఎగ్జిస్ట్ యాజ్ ఐ ఆమ్ మీనింగ్ that I am. And who am I? I am that. That I am, I am that. I am that, that I am. That's how the mantra is. It is there in the Old Testament also. I am that, that I am. That is what is given in the Vedic text as Aham Saha. I am that. అహం సహా అండ్ వాట్ ఈస్ దాట్? దట్ ఈస్ శివ. దట్స్ వై వి సే అహం స శివ సోహం దట్ ఐఎమ్. హంస మీనింగ్ ఐఎమ్ దట్, శివ దట్ ఐఎమ్, దట్ ఐఎమ్, ఐఎమ్ దట్ 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 ఐఎమ్, ఐఎమ్ దట్ 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 ఐఎమ్. ఇట్ ఈస్ మచ్ మోర్ పొయిటికల్ అండ్ in a song form when it is taken as hamsa siva soham, hamsa siva soham, hamsa siva soham, hamsa siva soham. That by that what are you trying to gain? You are gaining the understanding that I am divine. Divine exists as I am. The ocean exists as wave. The ocean exists as wave. The wave is no different from the ocean, and there is no wave without ocean. If there is no ocean, there is no wave. If I am there, that is there. So from that I spring as I am. So there is the dimension of that in us, which is divine. That's why humans are called divine. Humans are considered to be divine because there is a dimension in them which they can cognize. The divine is there in everything. But you can cognize the divinity in you. So therefore, you are sandwiched between your personality and that. The butter that you write upon the bread and then you put another bread over it. Isn't it? Or you put some marmalade on one bread and upon that you are the marmalade. You are sandwiched between that and your personality. This has to be engraved into us, assimilated into us. We should always feel that. Normally we feel ourselves as our personality. Therefore, we don't feel that we are the souls. See, how many of us remember that I am the soul and I have a personality? In the classroom, when it is taught, we all accept. But as we go out, we live only as personalities. Personalities have lesser understanding unless they are associated with the soul. So personality has its likes and dislikes, isn't it? They have their likes, their dislikes. And their likes and their dislikes, their agreeabilities and their disagreeabilities emerge from the conditions from which they have come up in life. Some people like cold weather. Some people like hot weather. Some people like temperate weather. There are some people who like all weathers. They are the ones who know that weather changes, so you have to adapt to it. To them it's not a big task. They adapt. Otherwise we feel unhappy if it is very cold. We'll feel very unhappy if it is very hot. We feel unhappy if it rains. For everything you are getting, you can be unhappy. What is there? So, the rounded up personalities meet every situation. That rounding up of personality happens through exposure and experience. Through exposure and experience. If you are regularly exposed to very cold weather, slowly you get accustomed to it. But that does not mean that you cannot meet the hot weather. You should also get exposed to the hot weather. That's why throughout the year, the seasons keep changing so that we are seasoned. We are seasoned. But if we hide ourselves from the seasons, we live in a very conditioned manner. Very conditioned manner. The kind of comforts that we are developing are only making our personalities weaker. Weaker. We cannot stand rain. We cannot stand sun. We cannot stand cold. That's one dimension. Likewise, we cannot like certain things. While we like certain things more than others, there are certain things which we dislike. These are all limitations of the personality. The work is to develop the personality into a wholesome personality. The wholesome personality development is what is intended to be done. And for that reason, the concept of understanding the human body as a temple is important. In the temple, the source which we speak here, you know, we speak of, his religion I belong to. His name I utter. What is his name? That. His name is that. That exists in all of us as the background of our being from cerebral, in the cerebrospinal column. From that we spring and we develop our personality. So therefore temple work demands that we daily recognize that we are three in one. There is the all-compassionate divinity in us. There is the all-compassionate divinity in us. It is not only compassionate, it is completely knowledgeable. It is complete, it has complete ability. The one in you who is the background of your being is completely able, but we are not that able. Is completely knowledgeable, but we are not that knowledgeable. He is within you and beyond you. We can also be in association with him, get beyond this form. The Master of Wisdom can move out of his body for in association with that. So there is an unconditioned, limitless, boundless being in you, which we call the divine in you, or the master in you, or God in you, whatever names you give. That's the master. When we say namaskaram to master, we are only offering our alignment with that master in each one of us. When we say namaskaram to master, or master namaskaram, we are only trying to align with the background of our being. That background is the basis for all the pulsation that is happening in us. That background is the basis for all our awareness during the daytime. In the night it merges into itself. When you are awake, you are there. But from where did this awakening happen? See, our existence is when we are awakened. Until then, we do not know that we are even existing. Do we know that we are existing when we are in sleep? Because there is no awareness. The awareness has merged into its source. That source in you from which awareness springs, that source in you from which the pulsation springs, they are not in our hands. They are given to us. Awareness arrives early in the morning. Only when the awareness arrives, you are awakened. Otherwise, you are not awakened. Sometimes, though, we wish to wake up at a particular hour, we wake up much later. Why? Because the awareness did not arrive. Even if you set your alarm, it doesn't work. It doesn't work because your awareness has not arrived. So this arrival of awareness enables you to relate without that awareness. So there is a super being in you. A being, super means beyond you. Super means beyond. Superman like that. Each one of us in us carry the superman, meaning the man beyond the man, the cosmic man is the true superman. He is in us. That has to be recognized. Don't look for God outside. Unless you realize God inside, you cannot see God outside. You cannot see God outside until you see God inside. If Moses went up the Mount Sinai and found the burning bush, it's not a bush outside that is burning. It is a golden bush which is none other than his own heart center. He could visualize the heart center in him, which is golden in its color. It's like a bush from which he heard a voice that directed him to do things. Isn't it? It's within. If Noah has heard that the world gets into deluge, he better prepare a boat. It is not somewhere from outside it came. It came from inside. Every prophet listens from within, not outside. He gets affirmations from outside. A good student of meditation listens inside, sees inside, perceives inside, senses inside, feels the touch inside. It's all inside. Why? Because all that is outside is also in your inside. That is the Superman. So there is the Superman, there is the man, and the mutable man, which we call the personality. The personality. So in association with Superman, you can very easily train your personality. In association with the Superman, you can easily train your personality because he is all able. He is all able. His abilities are unlimited. Your abilities are limited. His knowledge is unlimited. Your knowledge is limited. So therefore, by regularly associating with the Superman in you, or the God in you, or the light in you, whatever you call it, we give too many terms to it and ultimately lost the very essence of it. In the Vedas, they call it as it only, it or that. They did not name it. In his name, we live, that's what we say. What is his name? It or that. So that exists in us. That we should know. That's our background. We are very strong when we are in association. When you are with the master in you, you are already two in one. It's not only you, you and your master. when you associate with the master in you, you can train your personality in a very meaningful manner and fulfill the purposes of your incarnation. That is why all these meditations, the practices of alignment, the prayers, they are all meant for alignment. The purpose is to align with the master in you. Purpose is to align with the what we call God in you. The purpose is to align with the background energy which exists in you, which is verily the basis of your existence. You don't have to name him. It has no form. It has no form. It has no name. That's why some theology says he is unspeakable, he is unnameable, he is formless, da 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 da. But when he enters into a form, you can feel him in that form. Just like water, if you put it in a bowl, it takes a bowl shape. If you put it in a vertical cylinder, it is in a vertical. So also this space, Akasha, according to the shape it molds and it appears to you like that. But it has no name, it has no form, it is in us, it is our basis. Without it, we are not there. So that is whom we are trying to relate, but unfortunately we have too many names and too many forms, and our energy always flows out. Instead of energy flowing in, it flows out. If it flows out, you are discharged of your energy. When it flows in, you build a self-sustaining energy system by which you are ever replenished by the boundless reservoir that he is. The energy which we call God is a boundless energy reservoir. So as much as you relate to him, so much you keep receiving energy. Isn't it? So much you keep receiving energy. As much as you expend, still there is still energy coming to you all the time. These three have to be first recognized. That's most important for building the temple. Because the temple is the residence of God, isn't it? The residence of the image of God. There is an image in the temple which you are. The temple is your personality. And God functions through you, then only the temple work happens, not otherwise. Not all temples are active now in the world also. Some temples are even desecrated. Some temples disappeared. For example, the temple of Ibis disappeared. Why it disappeared? It was put to wrong use. When knowledge was put to wrong use, the temple had to be lifted up into subtlety, into subtle place. There is no temple now here, no Ibis temple. Because of abuse of knowledge. But a good temple, its purpose is to fulfill the surroundings. And as we continue to work with this wisdom, we tend to be more and more and more useful to more and more persons, more and more beings, more and more areas, and in more and more directions. See, there is a point of light. If there is a point of light, it's the beam of light moves towards east, it moves towards west, it moves towards south, it moves towards north, it moves upward, it moves downward. That's right. It is called a six-pointed star. A point of light. A point of light shines forth in six dimensions. The star that we draw, we only draw five dimensions. But there is a dimension on the other side which you don't see. So what I wish to say is, there are the one who is in all 10 dimensions, when he is with you, his dimensions are available to you. Available to you. So relate to him through, by inward looking, by inward thinking, not outward thinking. You all know, since you read the books of Master Jwalkur, he says energy follows thought, isn't it? In whichever direction you think, your energy flows in that direction. If you think, the thought direction is into the objectivity, the energy flows out from you. But if you direct the thought into you, then in the core of your being, you meet the boundless reservoir. That's where the will is available, the knowledge is available, the activity, ability to act is available, all is available. You are reinforced, you are replenished, and then with that energy you function outside. And in as much as you are in association with that energy in you, you keep on doing things outside in such great dimensions, in varieties of dimensions, in multiplicities of tasks, you will be fulfilling. That's how it works. That's why the potential of man can never be underestimated. It all depends how much he taps the core energy which is in him. As much as he taps it, and so much he utilizes it in a constructive manner, it continues to be in support with you. So that's how we should know that we are three in one, but not just one. I am Kumar. I am an Indian. These definitions are all kindergarten. We all, in spite of all that we read, all we practice, we still remain in kindergarten understanding only. In the sense, people think I am Spanish, or I am Argentinian, I am German, I am Swiss, I am a Brazilian, I am a woman, I am a man. No. You are neither woman, nor man, nor child, nor aged person. I am. That's it. I am is the fundamental that we have to settle as an occultist. That would enable us to generate tremendous energies from within. And those energies will stand you in good stead. But if you step down into your personality, it is such a gloomy hut, I would say. It is like slipping from a palace into a dark hut. It has not much light. You are the only light to it. That's why yesterday I was saying, don't reside in personality, preside over personality. This can be, you can keep in your bathroom at the mirror. Don't reside in personality, preside over the personality. If we reside in personality, we tend to be very, we fall into a kind of self-pity about ourselves, you know. Personality has a different dimension. It is like a cat. A cat always demands, isn't it? Don't misunderstand me. I know that the cats would be having a lot of complaints about me. There are cat-like personalities who always want something from the others. You did not give me this, you did not give me that, what others did not give you, you remember. What is already given is not remembered. If an owner comes home after a tour, if he has a dog and a cat, do you know which jumps on the owner first? It's the dog. It jumps over, puts its four legs on the chest of the man, and then keeps on looking into the eyes, wags the tail, shows so much of positive energy. How much it looks for him. In the same house, he has a cat also, which is somewhere in the corner, in the bedroom. You will have to go and look for it, and then say all kinds of things. Oh, me, no, all kinds. That's the difference between a cat and a dog. If at all you wish to have an animal, better have a dog at home, but not a cat. A cat is a sucker. It keeps on sucking your energy. And it's always, it's very cosmetic, you know, a cat. Like, you know, people who are very cosmetic, they keep on making like this, like that. Cat keeps always itself very clean. It is the cleanest animal, the cat, because it always licks everywhere. Keeps itself clean. Everything is neat. There are no nails here, no nails over there. And if possible, color the nails, all kinds of things. These are all cats in the humans. The cat in the human is one thing which cares only about itself, nothing else. On the contrary, a dog is totally for the... So why did we land in the cat and dog? The personality is a sucker. That's what I want to tell you. The personality sucks the energy of the soul and tries to thrive itself all the time. It always shows you, I want this, I want that, I want to go there, I want to see this, I want to buy this. Always seeking. The seeking of personality has no limit. It also says, I want God. God is not for suckers. God is not for seekers. Please know that. God is not for seekers. God is for those who offer. It's for those who offer. See, the lotus offers itself to the day, isn't it? The lotus, it opens itself to the sun ray. It awaits to receive the sun ray. That's why even if you remember in this meditation also, I offer lotus of my day. I'm not seeking lotus. I'm offering. That's where in Kali age everything is turned upside down, that all humanity is, in the name of God, are made seekers but not offerers. We are all turned negative by ignorant religions. But what exactly the scripture says is, learn to offer and know the glory of life. Learn to offer and know the glory of life. The more you offer, you know the glory of life. The more you seek, you are the pitiest person. The pitiest species on the planet. The plant offers. The animal offers. The five elements offer. The waters on earth offer. The air on earth offer. What is it other than man that is not offering? A cow offers its milk. It offers. ది బుల్ ఆఫర్స్ ఎవ్రీథింగ్ ఇన్ ది క్రియేషన్ ఆఫర్స్ అండ్ ఇట్స్ ఓన్లీ బై ఆఫరింగ్ యూ డిజర్వ్ టు లివ్ ఆన్ ది ప్లానెట్ బట్ వీ హ్యావ్ ఏ పర్సనాలిటీ విచ్ వర్క్స్ కాంట్రరీ టు ది లా ఆఫ్ ది నేచర్ దట్స్ వై ఇఫ్ యూ విష్ టు ఎంటర్ ఇన్ టు ఏ టెంపుల్ ది ఫండమెంటల్ డైమెన్షన్ గివెన్ ఈజ్ లెర్న్ టు ఆఫర్ బట్ నాట్ టు రిసీవ్ యూ మే రిసీవ్ బట్ యువర్ యాటిట్యూడ్ షుడ్ నాట్ బి వాట్ డూ ఐ గెట్ ఇఫ్ ఐ గో దేర్ వాట్ డూ ఐ గెట్ ఇఫ్ ఐ గో టు ఈగోస్ వాట్ డూ ఐ ఆఫర్ వెన్ ఐ గో టు ఈగోస్ ఈజ్ ది క్వశ్చన్ ఈజ్ నాట్ ది వాటర్ ఫాల్ ఆఫరింగ్ సో మచ్ జాయ్ టు సో మెనీ బీయింగ్స్ ఓవర్ సెంచురీస్ That's divine. It's by offering you become divine. By seeking you become mundane. You become mundane. So the more you seek, the personality, its work is to seek, 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 seek. So that's what I say, you fall into a hut from a palace. You fall into a hut. Why it is so? Because there is little light in a hut while there is great light in a palace. So the personalities, we should know that they are to be used by the soul, not to be used by the personalities. Soul utilizing personality is one dimension. Personality utilizing soul is another dimension. See, the king can use his lieutenants to rule the kingdom. But if the king is used by the lieutenants, those who are subordinates to the king, when they start exploiting the king becomes weak and the wrong elements become strong. Who should be subservient to whom? Our personality should be subservient to us. We the souls should preside our personality and use the personality to manifest the acts of offering. That's why in the morning I received a sentence. Received a sentence means not necessarily from higher circles. Even from the fellow members we can receive. I have come to give, not to receive. Is a state of a king. I have come to give, not to receive. Meaning my attitude is not to receive from everyone. My attitude is to give everyone. When you have this as another statement at your mirror, I have come into this form to give, not to receive. See, just because you descend to give but not to receive, don't deny whatever comes to you. Your attitude should be always to give. Your receiving is incidental. Wealth should be incidental to you. You should not work for wealth. Wealth should be incidental. You work, you keep on offering, you keep on whatever you can in terms of your intellectual abilities, in terms of your physical abilities, in terms of your resources that you have, keep on helping. A temple offers. A temple is not a seeking temple. Pity to the churches and temples who seek donations from the visiting public. It's a blasphemy. It's an act of Kali. Everything is turned upside down by 180 degrees. The temple has such a stature that it can offer everyone who enters into its compound. It is not dependent upon the dole outs by the people who come. Put one coin, two coins, three coins into a box. What is it like a beggar? You are offering to the Almighty just some money which the managers use for their living. Think, and they make you think that you are offering it to God. All these games, just from common sense, if you see, it's all such a game that happens everywhere. Everywhere, every, be it a temple, a church, or any worship place. It is dependent on you. Is the energy which we call Almighty is dependent on you? It's the other way around. We are dependent on it. So when you wish to develop the temple in you, the first, very first occult meditation which is there, given by Master C.V. is be a son, be a giver. Be a son, be a giver. Whatever little you have, keep giving. That gives you the first step to the transformation of personality. A self-seeking personality distances itself from light. Self-seeking personality distances itself from light. Self-offering personality walks proximate towards light. That's why, though we know that we have to get inside and we have to meditate in the heart center or in the Ajna center, not many can get in there. Because your personality works contrary to it. Many times when I say, may the light in me be the light before me, isn't it? Some people ask me, where is the light in us? As I close my eyes, I only see darkness, I don't see light. Which is very common perception. If someone asks you, where is the light in me? You say, there is light in you. May the light in me be the light before me. Where is that light in you? If you speak all philosophies, they don't accept. No, you turn inward, you go with the respiration, you get into the heart center, you get into the column of your being, then you will find light. He says, thank you, Buddha. The straight answer to the one who says, where is the light in me? Tell him, go and look into the mirror. Look to the eyes, in your own eyes. Go to the mirror, look to your eyes. Do you find light in your eye? Don't you find light in your eye? So, is there light in the eye? There is no light in the eye. So, in the eye there is light means there is inside light and it is shining forth through the ball, through the eyeball of the eye. Is not the light in it? That light is deep in you. It is expressing through your eyes. So why can't you turn inward and see that light? Why can't you turn inward and see that light which you can see in your own eyes? Let it be an engagement to see that. For the temple work to begin, to turn inward is important. Otherwise, there is no temple. To turn inward. Turning inward is what is called a turning subjective. Turning subjective. We turn objective from the childhood. We are taught how to turn into objective, and we keep seeing things in the objectivity. From the childhood, if we are taught how to turn inward, by this time we would have all been experts in turning inward and seeing the light within and the phenomena of light within. When we start learning alphabets, from the same time, if you are also given exercises for subjective understanding and subjective observation, not only objective observation, but subjective observation, if you turn subjective, then you are towards the temple in you. If you are only turning objective, you are walking away from the temple. The temple compound is your diaphragm. The temple compound is your diaphragm. Above the diaphragm, you have the temple. Below the diaphragm, it is all objectivity. That's why if we see the three dimensions in us, the divine in us, and we the humans, and then our personalities, the occult anatomy tells us that your lower torso is the personality. Lower torso is your personality. Upper torso is your abode as man. The abode of man is in the heart. It's called Narasimha. Narasimha means the man in the heart. Simha means heart. Simha in Sanskrit means the heart. That's why Leo Sansan is also called Simharasi. Simha. Simha is where you hear the sound Soham is called the center of Simha. It's beautiful. Sanskrit it's undoubtedly a divine language. But none of us really know it. Not even those who know Sanskrit know these dimensions. So the one who lives in the heart, he is the one who is living in the dimension relating to the person. The head is for the super person. The head relates to the superman. The upper torso relates to man. The lower torso relates to personality. Kindly make this understanding. The lower torso relates to the personality. The upper torso relates to the person or the soul. The head relates to the super soul. That's how you can divide the human body into these three portions. Head in the divine, the divine in the head, man in the heart, and then below the diaphragm it is your vehicle, your personality. That's how you are threefold. So those who are only seeking for personality, they are living below the diaphragm. All those who look for personality fulfillment, they're all posited below the diaphragm. To shift from the state of being in the navel is below diaphragm, sacral is also below diaphragm, Mooladhara is below diaphragm. Sacral gives all kinds of emotions. Navel gives all kinds of thoughts and desires what to get from where. Animal also does the same thing. As the animal wakes up, it only looks for its food all around, keeps moving around for its food. There are also human beings as they wake up, even half sleep state and half awake state, they automatically walk towards the fridge. Open the fridge. Pick up a bottle of milk or a piece of bread. Keep it. The first thing that the animal thinks of is food. The first thing that the man should think of is not food. It is something else than food which he can receive into him. So when you are below the diaphragm, you are always working for your body. That's all. Always working for the body. Body maintenance is your main work. And you go through all apps relating to health. There are so many windows now open for health, you know. And the major discussion among people is also about body maintenance, body health. Nobody bothers about the health of the soul. Body, body, body. Personality is body oriented. Personality is not soul oriented. Without the soul, this personality has no existence. Without the soul, the personality has no existence. But the personality is least bothered about the soul. It is only bothered about all the sense objects. All the sense. Whatever it sees, whatever it listens, whatever it smells, whatever it tastes, whatever it touches, keeps on asking. That's why it is said man lives in the navel. Man lives in the navel as an animal. As an animal. Because solar plexus, from all 360 degrees, it tries to see what it can receive. Its work is to receive, receive, receive. The name is solar plexus. But it is a sucker. It keeps on seeking. But the solar angel is a giver. The solar angel is a giver. He is at the head. He is in the head. Here, at the navel, you have the moon. At the navel, Libra is ruled by moon. So moon, insofar as it is oriented to the world, it only shows the world all the time. If the moon orients towards the sun, it becomes full moon. Isn't it? Full moon. Moon is like it's a reflecting principle. You take a mirror, you show the mirror towards the earth, it shows the earth. You turn the mirror towards the sun, it reflects the sun. Isn't it? That's why meditations are meant to be made in the head with the help of mind, so that the mind reflects this, the light of the sun in it. So there is nothing wrong with your personality. What is to be done is to give a right orientation to it. We need to give right orientation to the personality. That orientation, just for a while in the morning and for a while in the evening, turning it towards the sun. Rest of the time turning towards all other things. You don't gain the hold over light. You don't gain the hold over light. That's why we always remain in navel. What should we eat? What should we drink? How to maintain this body, body maintenance, all this activity. Our money earning is activities also to sustain this body. So personality programs, insofar as they are self-seeking, they put you to a kind of discharge of energies all the time. Therefore, a temple work demands you turn towards the soul. The residence of the soul, as I said, is in the heart. Because the heart trumpets, I am, I am, I am, here I am, here I am, here I am. In Sanskrit, the heart is called Hridayam. Hridayam means here I am. Here I am. Here I am. హియర్ ఐ యామ్. సో ఏదర్ టర్న్ టువర్డ్స్ ది హార్ట్ విచ్ సేస్ హియర్ ఐ యామ్, ఆర్ ఈవెన్ టర్న్ టువర్డ్స్ ది హెడ్ వేర్ యూ హ్యావ్ ది డివైన్, ది డివైన్ ఇన్ యూ. If you relate to the divine in you, then your personality will fall into order. That is the key. You cannot keep on training your personality because the personality is generally stronger than the soul. It has its own viewpoints. It has its own defined wrongs and rights, which are not necessarily right. This is wrong, this is right, like this. The personality is so strong, the soul is helpless. Many wrong things are considered as right by personality. Many right things are considered as wrong by the personality. It's a such a upside down situation with the personality. Turn towards the soul. Turn towards the super soul in you. As you are associated with the super soul, you are able to see better. That's why turning inward, getting into the heart and getting into the head are the practices relating to all occultism. So in this human temple, you can either be in the head, or you can be at the heart or above the diaphragm. You can be below the diaphragm according to your choice. That's why in humans, there are three categories of humans. Those who are completely personality oriented. Those who are soul oriented. Those who are linked to the divine. That's why they say there can be God in men. There can be man in man. There can be beast in man. God, man and the beast is together in the man. So the beast and man, they are inseparables. That's the whole problem. And man and God are also inseparable. It is three in one. We all know the stories of centaurs, you know, centaurs. The rear portion, the hind portion is an animal. The anterior portion is human. That's what we are. That which is below diaphragm is the animal in us. That which above the diaphragm, up to the throat, is the man in us. And there is the crown on the head, which is the divine in us. So the divine, the human and the animal are together in man. So temple work is possible only when we have this understanding and we make conscious movements into our own system by shifting our awareness from one state to the other state. That's where the whole work is. That is the reason throughout the globe today there is a glamour for meditation, though meditation does not happen. At least there is what is called meditation is known to all. That is already a good step for humanity, that they think of meditation. Meditation demands turning inward. Prayers can also be done inward. Prayers, outside prayers, you can never find the temple. You can never find the key to light. You can never find the key to life as well. The key to life can never come to those who do not turn inward. They may develop their own theories, their own dogmas, and keep working with themselves and with others. There were so many experiments by so many reformists in the outer world, like capitalism, communism, socialism. No ism ever helped humanity. You can't say capitalism is a solution. You can't say socialism is a solution. You can't say communism is a solution. Or any combination of these three is not a solution. The solution to humanity is meditation. Turn inward. Turn inward. The turning inward is the fundamental step. That's why the meditation technique tells you to contemplate either in the brow center or adapt to respiration, pulsation and get to the heart center. That means from the existing state of being in the personality, you can lift yourself up into the state of the soul or into the state of super soul. Until the center of the super soul is open, no temporal work can happen. The image of God exists at Ajna. God exists beyond Sahasrara. Therefore, the temple is above, from above downward, from super soul to soul and soul to personality. Building the temples is also from above downwards, not from below upwards. Building the temples. In ancient times, the temples are built from above downwards. We, the temple, the human temple, when we enter into the womb of the mother, first the head is formed. Later the spinal column forms. And along with the spinal column, we have the upper torso and lower torso, the legs and the hands. Isn't it? That's the natural way of forming a temple. Natural way of forming temple. In the womb of the mother, the feet are not born first. It's not born from feet to the knees, from ankles to knees to the hips, and then the lower torso, upper torso, then the head. It's not like that. It's never formed like that. It is always formed from above downwards. Nature functions from above downwards in formations. So we too have to work from above downwards. By that, the order is better set. Because that which is very magnetic and very radiating is in the head. It tends to be magnetic when it comes down to the heart. And it is neither radiating nor magnetizing when it comes to the abdomen. It is a food center. It's a fast food center here. Yeah. It keeps on eating not only food, all that is surrounding. Through all the five senses we keep on gathering, now that is food. So from above downwards we have to contemplate to form the temple. This is what I intend to drive you to build the temple from above downwards. To build the temple from above downwards, one technique is given by the masters of wisdom of all times. They are the ones who realize the temple, so they can give you easier ways of building the temple. They can give us easier ways of building the temple. The technique is, imagine the energies of Jupiter in Sahasrara. Imagine the energies of Jupiter in Sahasrara. Jupiter is considered to be all-knowing energy, wisdom, expanding consciousness. Jupiter gives expansion of consciousness. It is ever-expanding consciousness. It is full of wisdom. Then at Ajna center, కాంటెంప్లేట్ అపాన్ ది సన్. కాంటెంప్లేట్ అపాన్ ది సన్ ది ఎఫుల్జెంట్ సెంటర్. ది ఎఫుల్జెంట్ సెంటర్ ఫ్రమ్ వేర్ ది సెవెన్ రేస్ ఫంక్షన్. కాంటెంప్లేట్ మెర్క్యూరీ అండ్ ఇట్స్ క్యారెక్టరిస్టిక్స్ అట్ ది థ్రోట్ సెంటర్. థ్రోట్ సెంటర్, థ్రోట్ ఇస్ మెర్క్యూరీ, ఇట్స్ ఎ మెర్క్యూరీ సెంటర్, స్పీచ్ సెంటర్. కాంటెంప్లేట్ అపాన్ వీనస్ అట్ ది హార్ట్ సెంటర్. వీనస్ గివ్స్ అస్ ది స్ప్లెండర్ ఆఫ్ ఎక్స్పీరియన్స్, ది స్ప్లెండర్ ఆఫ్ ది నేచర్, ది బ్యూటీ ఆఫ్ ది నేచర్. ది నేచర్ ఈజ్ నాట్ ఓన్లీ మండేన్, ఇట్ ఈజ్ ఆల్సో డివైన్. నేచర్ ఈజ్ ఇన్ నైన్ ఫోల్డ్స్. నేచర్ ఎగ్జిస్ట్ ఇన్ నైన్ ఫోల్డ్స్. ఆల్ నైన్ ఫోల్డ్స్ ఆఫ్ నేచర్ దేర్ బ్యూటీ ఎట్ ది హార్ట్ యూ కెన్ ఎక్స్పీరియన్స్. కాంటెంప్లేట్ అపాన్ వీనస్ ఎట్ ది హార్ట్ సెంటర్. Think of moon in the navel. Moon in the navel. Because navel is the basis for us to work with. When I say navel is the basis, moon is the basis. With the help of moon only we are doing all this. Mind. Moon is the mind. Chandrama manaso jataha. So with mind, the help of mind you can reflect ది సహస్రార, ది ఎనర్జీస్ ఆఫ్ సహస్రార, ది క్యారెక్టరిస్టిక్స్ ఆఫ్ జూపిటర్, ది క్యారెక్టరిస్టిక్స్ ఆఫ్ సన్ అట్ ది ఆజ్ఞ, ది క్యారెక్టరిస్టిక్స్ ఆఫ్ మెర్క్యూరీ అట్ ది థ్రోట్, ది క్యారెక్టరిస్టిక్స్ ఆఫ్ వీనస్ అట్ ది హార్ట్, ది బ్యూటీ ఆఫ్ వీనస్ ఈస్ ఇట్ గివ్స్ యూ ఎక్స్పీరియన్స్ ఆఫ్ సటిల్ వరల్డ్. All that is subtle and the knowledge of subtle is available with Venus. He is the master of subtle world. And then moon at the navel center. Mars at sacral center to regulate the most disturbing emotional energy. To set it to regulation, Mars at the sacral center. Mars is Kumara. I have also given many dimensions of the Kumara dimensions of Mars in a book, Mars the Kumara. Saturn at the base center. We have all the seven planets regularly contemplated in your own being. In your own being. Your body is the earth. Your body is the earth in which the base center is relatable to Saturn, sacral to Mars, solar plexus to Moon, heart center to Venus, throat center to Mercury, Ajna center to Sun, Sahasrara to Jupiter. That's how you can fundamentally posit the solar system in your body. That's the temple. Solar system. You are positing the solar system in your body, which is true in a miniature form. Each one of us is a solar system. In a miniature form, each one of us is a solar system. That's why there is a saying in the Veda, looking at the sun, a sun worshipper says, I am no different from the sun that I see. I am no different from the sun that I see. That's how it is said. The utterance is Asavaditya Brahma. Asavaditya Brahma. Anyway, I don't want to bore you with Sanskrit. The meaning is important. That which there is no difference between me and that sun which is shining forth. And since we are the suns, we also have the other planets with us. Just like the solar system, the sun has his friends, has Jupiter, Venus, Mercury, Mars, Moon, Saturn. We do it. And since in the solar system there is the earth, we have the body. So contemplate upon the seven planets and the earth in your body. That is the fundamental step to prepare the temple. Daily. Daily. Don't think in piecemeal of these planets. You think of the whole solar system in your own being. Move from above downwards, relating to these planetary principles, and move from above upwards, below upwards, above downwards and below upwards. Keep on doing it so that a highway is formed in the spinal, cerebrospinal column. That is one step to start. In this dimension, what happens to us is, by doing this contemplation in these centers, unconsciously we are turning subjective. Unconsciously, we are turning subject, otherwise our mind always goes into object. It keeps on going here and there, everywhere. It is a wandering principle. You can call it as a wandering dog, or you can call it as a flying bird. It keeps on flying here and there. To bring it back, to set it into this vertical column. If we say turn inward and be at a center for a split second, it is there. Later it is out. But if you put it to this this elevator, a 7-storied elevator from Sahasrara to Mooladhara, from Mooladhara to Sahasrara, from Sahasrara to Mooladhara. Keep on relating to the related planetary principles, and then move from in the entire cerebrospinal column, which is the true temple in us. That's the true temple in us. The cerebrospinal column is the abode of God. All that is built around it is like, according to Master CVV, is like a football bladder. Football bladder. It can be blown to be round some. It can be contracted, isn't it? With the inhalation and exhalation, it expands, it contracts. It expands, it contracts. It expands. The whole thing expands and contracts. But there is an axis in you which remains always the same, full of light. So think of this inner column from cerebral system to spinal column, placing your awareness, which is in mind, at Sahasrara for some time, at Ajna for some time, at Visuddhi for some time, at heart for some time, at solar plexus for some, at sacral for some time, at Mooladhara for some time. And try to gain knowledge relating to these centers. Every center has its related petals. It has its related colors. It has its related sounds on the petals. Like that you can keep on improving and then visualizing them within you. This has to be a practice. This is what is called Nyasa Vidya, the science of correspondence. If you do that, we are fundamentally trying to build the temple. Fundamentally. So that's how we also, without much effort, turn subjective and keep moving in the subjectivity. That's why it is so tangible for an occult student that he has as much a subjective life as he has an objective life. For a common man, only objective life exists. There is no subjective life. For a true occult student, there is the birth in the subjective life and the growth in the subjective life and activity in subjective life, as much as we have birth, growth and activity in the objective life. There are two lives within one life. You walk into the temple and do temple service. You walk outside and bring the temple energies into the outer world. So that's how the work commences. The idea is to give you some of these techniques so that eventually with the help of these techniques each one of us can build the temple in us and live in it, experience the energies of the temple. And gradually over years or incarnations make it into golden temple and a diamond temple. So there is such a huge, and it is very interesting when you turn inward. It's very interesting. The Veda says there is 3/4 life inside, only 1/4 life outside. The 1/4 life outside is all mundane and mortal. The 3/4 life is divine and immortal. Tripadasya Amrutam Divi. In Sahasra, in Purusha Sutta, which I taught in the initial times of teaching, Padasya Vishwa Bhutani, Tripadasya Amrutam Divi. Meaning 3/4 is immortal and divine. 1/4 is mortal and mundane. So, We are in such a poor condition. We means the humanity. We are in such a poor condition. We are with the 1/4 which is mortal and divine, while we have the potential to get into 3/4 of life which is immortal and divine. So to get into the immortal and divine side of our being, we need to turn inward. Turning inward, first step I have narrated now. We'll continue in the afternoon. Thank you, one and all. Namaskar.